Good morning, everyone. If you'd like to turn open in your Bibles, I'll be first in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is where we'll be in just a few moments. I see that we have some visitors here with us today. We want you to know that we thank you so much for your presence. We hope and pray that our time together will most importantly be pleasing to God. But we also pray for those visitants that will be of some benefit to you. And if you have any questions about anything that we do here, we encourage you to ask. We love nothing more than the opportunity to explain the Word of God and sit down and open up our Bibles and study it together. We just concluded a weekend meeting with Brother Sean Bain. If you were unable to be here for any reason, I want to encourage you strongly to ask for a CD or go on the website and listen to those lessons, because they were just wonderful. They were wonderful lessons for our family. The word I would use is impactful. Extremely impactful to me. I think it would be to you as well. And you know, there were some things that I gleaned from, there was a lot, but there was a certain core thing that I gleaned from Brother Sean's lessons. And that was this: that when we treat our families and our marriages the way that the world does, they're going to fail. They're going to break apart. They're not going to be what God wants them to be. But if we will treat our families and treat our marriages the way that God has intended, then they will work. God will be glorified and we will be happy within our families and within our marriages. It's just a natural result of that. The more I began to think about the meeting and the time together to focus on the family, I couldn't help but to begin to really ask myself, how am I doing at that within the family? Where are my priorities? And then, of course, the obvious next point is, how about just as a Christian? We took a whole weekend to talk about family and where our priorities and how we're to treat our families, treat our spouses, treat our children. And Sean told us, if your priorities aren't correct and not putting God first in your marriage, it won't work. So I want to begin to ask us this morning as Christians, where are our daily priorities? Where are your daily priorities? You know, we all have busy lives. We have a lot of things that we must do on a weekly basis. But at the center of all that makes up our normal work week, where are our priorities? Have you ever asked yourself, what is my purpose? I've got to be honest, after the meeting, I thought a lot about what was said. And it made me begin to think, what is my purpose as a husband? What is my purpose as a father? What's my purpose as a Christian, as an evangelist, as another member of the Northwest body of Christ? What is my purpose? Do you ever consider that? Where is your priority? What is your purpose in life as a Christian? And then thirdly, how does this all align with God's will? There's a lot of things that we have to do in life. There's a lot of ungodly things that we could do. A lot of worldly things we could do. So we have to ask ourselves and stay focused on, what are my priorities? What is my purpose? And then how does that align with God's will? John chapter 6, verse 38. It's our scripture of the month. Our theme of following Jesus and following God's will, not our own. John 6:38, Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." How often are we doing God's will? I want you to think about this morning. Now, I know that's an obvious question to ask a big group of Christians this morning. But here's where I want to go with this. How often do you sit back in a normal work week and just sit down in a quiet place and think, what are my priorities? is God first in my life? Where am I going with all this? Am I being the spouse I need to be? Am I being the Christian I need to be? I bet that for most of the time, we wake up and we eat our breakfast, we have our coffee, we rush out the door taking care of the kids, getting to work, and we just do whatever we have to do with whatever is directly in front of us. If there's something going on with our kids, we have to take care of that because that's right in front of us. We go to work, we have to take care of whatever is right in front of us. And we hardly ever sit back for a moment and just think about these things, but I want to ask you to do that this morning. And I want to use John chapter 6 as a place to do that. Jesus, throughout the context of the rest of this scripture, he lays out what I think is God's will for us. So I want to take this time this morning to take a look at what Jesus says God's will is for our life. Would you begin reading with me in John chapter 6, verses 24 through 27. 24 through 27. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father, God, has set his seal." May I give you point number one this morning? What is God's will for your life? I want you to consider that, ponder that this morning. And the first one, I think, is to place God first. How do I know that? Look at the words of Jesus. He says, "You are following me." Why? Because you want to be spiritual? No. Because you want your bellies filled. Because you want to see miracles. Jesus says, "Do not work for the food which perishes." In other words, don't live for this life. Live for the life that is to come, but for the food which endures to eternal life. Jesus is asking them to place him and the Father first. So I ask us this morning, are we putting God first? Are we putting God first? One of my friends in high school, her parents were unfortunately divorced. And something has always stuck with me about what she told me. She told me that whenever she had weekends with her father, that her father would take her out in wonderful trips, buy her new clothes, buy her pretty much whatever she wanted. And she said, "I think the reason he does that is because he feels guilty that he's not always around me." But here's what stuck in my head. My friend told me, "You know, I would give back all of the gifts and all the things that my father gives me if he would just put me first and just spend more time with me." You know, I think about that, and I think about our homes today. How often do we, as husbands, go out and perhaps buy our wives flowers and necklaces and jewelry and things like that? Now, sometimes we do it just because we want to be nice. But how often is it as husbands because really what we've not done is not put our wives first? So what we do is we try to go out and make up by buying things, giving things. Do we ever do that with our children? We feel bad because we're not spending enough quality time with our children, so we buy them things, take them to places. You know what our family would really just appreciate? They would just appreciate our love and our time more than all of the gifts. Where am I going with all this? You know, we can come to worship services on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we should. God desires to be worshiped. But you know what else God would appreciate? If we would put him first every single day of the week, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays. Sundays and Wednesdays shouldn't be an opportunity for us to just come give God our leftovers, come give our offering, because, well, God, I haven't really had a relationship with you all week long, but at least I'm here on Sunday. I was there for Wednesday night Bible studies. God's will for our life is that we put Him first every single day. When we wake up, till we go to bed, every single day. Not just coming on 2 days a week. So I ask you this morning, where are your priorities? God's will for our lives is that we put Him first in all that we do. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first His kingdom. Not second, not third, not when we have some time left over, but seek first. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. You know what I notice about these verses, the words of Jesus? That they're all verbs, they're all action words. Not a single one of us are going to grow as Christians just by attending services, just by telling someone that we're Christians. We have to act. We have to try. We have to be motivated. Are we doing that? God's will for our life is that we place Him first in all that we do. Let me give you a second one. Would you read with me in John chapter 6, verses 52 through 58? Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us flesh, his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourself. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is the true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. May I give you a second thing that Jesus is telling us is God's will for our life. And that is that we must abide in Jesus. There in verse 56, he says, abides in me and I in him. This isn't talking about a physical, that we need to physically eat of flesh and drink of blood. Jesus is saying, abide in me in everything that you do. I started thinking about this and thinking, what exactly does that mean? What does that mean to abide in Jesus? So I had to go find a definition to see what that meant. Let me just give you a normal modern day Webster's dictionary of what abide means. To accept without objection. Are we accepting Jesus in our lives without objection? Or do we want to object to some of the commands of Jesus? Jesus says, abide in me. Be in me. Be in my word. Do not object. Remain stable or in a fixed state. Can we say to ourselves this morning that we are fixed in Jesus? Or are we halfway in Jesus and halfway into the world? God's will for our life is that we abide in Jesus, not half in Jesus and half in the world. Abide, to continue in a place, to conform to. How are we doing this morning at conforming, abiding in Jesus? Well, how can we do that? How can we better abide in Jesus? May I say first this morning that you need to learn the Word of God. Keep your marker in John chapter 6, and if you would, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I want to read verses 22 through 24. 1 John chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. Whatever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. What does verse 23 and 24 tell us? How do we possibly abide in Jesus? By remaining in his word, by knowing his commandments. How well do you know the word of God? Now, I'm not talking about bringing our Bibles to services and open it when it's time for the sermon. Brethren, we can't abide in something that we do not know. We cannot keep our jobs in the workplace if we didn't know how to do that job, right? So how are we to do the job of being Christians that abide in Jesus? Well, we need the manual. The Bible is the manual. We need to learn the word. And then once we have learned it, we need to learn to deny ourselves. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. It says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. If we are truly abiding in Jesus, then we will be remaining in Jesus, remaining in his commandments. We will be denying ourselves. How are we doing this morning at denying ourselves, the things we know we should not be doing? Let me give you a third. Look with me in John chapter 6 and read with me in verses 60 through 63. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. What is the will of God for our lives? It's to live spiritually. Jesus says the world, the flesh, it profits us nothing. Nothing. How can we live spiritually? How often do we make decisions in our lives based on the Word of God? And how often in life do we make decisions based on wealth, taking care of ourselves? Let me ask you, how often do we make decisions, just everyday basic decisions on how to parent our children based on the Word of God? Versus what will make them happy, what will make them popular, what is best for them for school, for sports. See, as Christians who are following the will of God, we should look different than the world. Jesus was the definition of looking different than the world. Yet how many times today do we make decisions based on spiritual things? And then how many times do we make decisions based on wanting wealth? Popularity. As Christians, we are to think and make decisions based on spiritual things above. May I suggest how we could go about that is first, we need to be born again. You're in John chapter 6. Would you go over to John chapter 3 with me? John chapter 3. I want to read verses 5 through 7. Jesus talking to Nicodemus, and I want to pull out something perhaps different than you've thought of before in this scripture. John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. We understand the obvious here, to be born again, Jesus says you must be baptized. But he also says of water and the Spirit. Now, when we are baptized into Christ, God doesn't magically wipe away all of the temptations in our life. what it means to by the Spirit is not only do we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we in and of ourselves must decide to be different. Just being baptized doesn't take it all away unless we continue to abide in Christ and think spiritually. So when it says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, I submit to you this morning that it's not only the water, but it's our continual obedience and having a Spirit of God that will gain us the kingdom of God. It also means that we need to lay up treasures in heaven. We need to stop thinking so much about this world, stop thinking so much about this earth, and we need to put our mind on heavenly things. Jesus says, Matthew 6:19-21, do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure? Where's our treasure this morning? Where are our priorities? What is our purpose in life? How does that align with the Word of God? Jesus wants us to think spiritual. How are we doing at that? Or how are we just trying to satisfy our earthly needs? The will of God is for us to live spiritual. Back in John chapter 6, I invite you to read with me verses 64 through 66. 64 through 66. There are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. He was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. From this, what I say that the will of God is for our life is that we must remain in Christ, walking with Him until the end. Jesus, at this point, He's healing around the Sea of Galilee. He's feeding people. He's doing miraculous things. Everybody's following at this point. And then He starts giving hard teachings. And then what happens? Once He starts giving, the doctor starts telling you what is expected. And then people stop following Him. Brethren, if we want to be in heaven one day in the glory of our Father, then we can't just be in Christ for a time. We must remain with Him until the end. Until the end. Matthew 7:13-14. John Polk talked about this in the Wednesday invitation. It reminded me of this point. When Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it, for the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. You know, there's something about a gate. You can enter it, and you can exit it. We of ourselves can choose to enter into the narrow gate, enter into baptism, become Christians, but then you and I, just like those people that stopped following Him in the area of Galilee, we can exit the door, exit the gate. And what does that equal? That equals, of our own doing, losing our salvation. God will not lose us. God will not drop us. God always has us. But if we ourselves decide to not follow any longer, then we are not in Christ. The will of God is for us to follow until the end. Jesus also says in Matthew 24:11-13, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Brother, I just want to encourage you this morning to not let your love grow cold for the Lord. We must endure till the end. Let me give you a fifth and a final that I see from the Scriptures, a will for our lives. Would you read with me verses 67 through 69? Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. From what I see from the scripture and reading this interaction between Peter and Jesus, is that God's will for our life is that we remember who gives the words of eternal life. Jesus gives us the words of eternal life. God gives us the words of eternal life. The scriptures give us the words of eternal life. So may I just close this point by asking you this. Asking you this morning, whether you have been a Christian for 50 years, or you're not yet a Christian, whether you're visiting with us this morning, you're seeking spiritual things, if you have a spiritual question, please, please answer it only with the Word of God. Jesus has the words of eternal life. God has the words of eternal life. The words are here. That's all we need, brethren. We don't need any further doctrine. We don't need books written by men. If we want to get to heaven, we simply need to pick up our Bibles and ask the questions and read the answers here. So whether you are a child of God or are seeking, again, I ask you, I plead with you, please find all of your answers only from the Word of God. That is God's will for our lives. That we remember He gives us all that we need. He gave us His Son. All we must do is abide by these things, abide in them, realize what our purpose is, where our priorities are, and see how they align with the Word of God. And if we make sure that our priorities and our purpose align with the Word of God, we'll be doing the will of God in our lives. Let me close by going to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I want to read verses 15 through 23. I believe these verses sum up not only this final point, but sum up a lot of what we have discussed and looked at today. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 23. Jesus says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Jesus says, "You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits." That's our actions. Jesus says, very importantly, in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Brethren, I hope that you will consider John chapter 6 this morning. I hope that you'll go home and you'll think, where are my priorities? If this list and plus many others in the New Testament is God's will for my life, how does that align with my daily life? And then I hope that you will ask yourself, when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 that the only way to enter into heaven is to do the Father's will, and that not everybody will enter, but only that do His will enter. I hope you'll ask yourselves, am I keeping God's will? Or am I keeping my own will? Am I keeping God's will plus doctrine of men? What am I keeping? Because the only thing that will take us into heaven is abiding by God's word and His word alone. If you're already a child of God this morning, I ask you to consider these things. Think about your priorities. Ask yourself where you are in your relationship with God. Make changes as needed. If you're not a child of God, please, I beg of you to note verse 21 when Jesus says, not everyone will enter, but only he who does the will of the Father will enter. If you have not yet obeyed the gospel, the will of the Father, repented away from your sins, been baptized into Christ, then you have not yet done the will. But there's water ready, all things are ready. And if we can help you with that or answer any questions about that at a later time, we invite you to come and ask. And if we can help you right now, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.